Praise God. Let's give Jesus another good clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. Following the theme of this tonight, let's look over the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Gospel of John, chapter 21. Verse 15. Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 15. We see here it says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and shall carry you where you do not wish.'" In this particular passage, we realize that Jesus Christ was talking to Peter regarding the work and the ministry of the church. Now, we want to consider three things here. And that is, number one, the person to whom he was speaking to. You see, Peter represented the head of all the disciples. See, Jesus has the multitude, Jesus has the 12 disciples, and then Jesus has the three, and of the three, Peter was the head of all of them. And Jesus was speaking to Peter, whom he spoke earlier before he went to the cross. He says to him how Satan wanted to tame him and test him and cause him to fall. And he says, "But I pray for you, and when you are turned or changed, strengthen your brethren." So Jesus knew and had chosen Peter to be the leader of what was to happen in the book of Acts. He was a prime leader in the church in Jerusalem. So Jesus Christ gave this word to the one who has the most authority. And here tonight we are talking about children's ministry. And sometimes we would delegate it, or people tend to delegate it to the least important person. And we sometimes think that in a church, a children's ministry is a ministry where we see, you know, who else is free to do something. And then we'll say, "All right, you go and do it." But here when Jesus Christ was talking about the children's ministry, you notice of these three statements he makes, "Feed my lamb, tend my sheep," and "Feed my sheep," he mentions the lamb first. And so the lamb sheep talk about young little sheep. It could refer to two things. It could refer to those young in the Lord, or it could refer to those who are young physically. Tonight, in the context of where we are in children's ministry and their presentation, we are going to focus on the other interpretation, and that is those who are little, the little ones, the young children, the little lambs. And we need to have an attitude in our heart and mind to realize that children's ministry doesn't belong to the lesser. It belongs to the greater. And Jesus Christ took the time to remind, and in fact it was not just a remind, to command Peter that he must feed my lambs. And that was a command given to the one who is the head. And in children's ministry, we want to encourage each one of you, if you're involved or you're not involved yet, but you sense the leading of the Holy Spirit, that it is not a lesser call. Just because you're in the background and people don't see you in public, and right there you're in one corner or in another place in children's ministry, does not mean that you're lesser. Jesus' command is given to the head whom he had delegated as the under-shepherd of the church that he was to institute. And so that's point number one. Is children's ministry is something that is important to Jesus. Children's ministry is something that he considered greater or equal, but never lesser. Secondly, you notice that of these three statements he made, he put taking care of the little lamb first. He could have said, Peter, feed my sheep, and then tend my sheep, and then feed my lambs. But instead, he emphasized the lambs first. He said, Peter, feed my lambs. And then he talked about tending the sheep and feeding the sheep. So the second point that we want to note here is a term in terms of priority, emphasis. Jesus Christ emphasized taking care of little ones as a priority. But many times, and in many churches, and in many people's hearts, minds, and attitudes, they think that let's take care of the adults first, and then after that, take care of the little children. But Jesus says, take care of the little children first, and then take care of the adults. It's remarkable how the society that we are moving to today, it has reversed into the opposite. And sometimes in the plan of a church, in many places, when they are planning for a church building or something, the last thing that they thought about was the children's ministry. Instead of incorporating the whole thing together. And I remember it was one of these big ministries, could have been John Wimber or somebody else. It was Jack Hayford, that's right. It was Jack Hayford in the Church on the Way. And one of the foremost leaders today in American charismatic circles. And when they were planning their new church building, the Church on the Way, and they were discussing all the details and planning this and planning that department and all those various departments, and they had a huge group of people involved in this kind of ministry, building the church. And after everything was planned and said and done, one of them said and spoke out and said, hey, what about the children's ministry? And then they say, yeah, what about the children's ministry? What about the children's ministry? And they begin to pass on word, what about the children's ministry? And then they realize that in their whole planning, they had neglected the department. And Jack Hayford, in his biography in the book, The Church on the Way, mentioned how they all repented before God. The group of people who were there all went to the Lord and prayed. And that night when he went back, the Lord dealt with him and the Lord dealt with all of them. And the Lord said, no, you have neglected the little ones. And you have put not even taken care of them. And so they had a time of repenting. And after the time of repenting, they reorganized, changed the whole plan, redo the blueprint, and put the children's ministry to the little ones as a priority. And Jesus Christ obviously meant a priority when he says, feed my lambs. It is not a caretaking ministry. It is one that is equal in terms of ministry. And in the second point, we need to understand that the little lambs are important to Jesus, and he places a priority to take care of them and look into them first. In the natural world, sometimes that takes place in people's lives, where when they plan their lives and they plan their family, they plan all these areas, they take into consideration all these other areas if they really love the children. In the same way, in the church is a family. We have the younger ones and the older ones. And the younger ones are a priority. For what reason? Because they cannot take care of themselves. Sheep has an inward trained ability to take care of themselves to a certain extent. They still need guidance, but they have a greater ability to take care of themselves. The little lambs, if sheep are helpless, lambs are extremely helpless. That is why Jesus Christ placed a priority on taking care of the little ones. That's the second thing that we see here. The third thing on feeding the little lambs, as we go to point 1, point 2 on priorities, it will bring us to point 3, which is in the book of Genesis chapter 18.
If you have your Bible, we turn to Genesis chapter 18.
And you see here that when the Lord was going to send judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and having had a fellowship with Abraham, in verse 17 of Genesis 18, it says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing?" And he says in verse 18, "Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." In verse 19, we see that the Lord measures Abraham's walk with him according to Abraham's ability to take care of his own children. He says, "I know this Abraham," in verse 19, "that he will command his children to walk in the right way, that his household to follow after him." And in this third area here is where we see the blessing. The first point we see is that the children's ministry is an important aspect so that Jesus could give it to the under shepherd whom he has appointed to take care of the whole church. The second point is Jesus' priority to the children, because they cannot take care of themselves, they need somebody else to take care of them. And if we will be faithful to these two, it brings you to number three, the blessing. The blessing of realizing that there's a priority on the children's ministry. And here is the blessing. God says that I'm going to specially bless Abraham. And it says here in verse 17, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing?" So under point three, we see the blessings of keeping the first two priorities. What are some of these blessings? Number one, revelation. 3A, revelation. When you begin to take care of the little ones and you place a priority and you realize it's a special work and special call, as important as being a senior pastor, as important as being a pastor, a prophet, an apostle, God uses it as the same. That's number two, priority. Then number three, the blessing comes. And the blessing comes in various areas. Under point number three, which is A, the blessing. The blessing of revelation. God will show you things to come because you're taking care of your children who represent the things that God's going to continue to do. God says, "Shall I hide from Abraham? Shall I keep from him special revelation?" So God says, "I will give you special revelation." Now, if most of you have ever heard of Willie George, Willie George was called to the ministry to children. He says God called him as a pastor to children. And he's the one who started the Gospel View Show, etc. And literally thousands of children's lives are touched by him. And he recognized his call was as important. He recognized a fivefold ministry to the children. He did not put it as a low priority. Many people I talk to, they have not got the first 2 points yet. That's why they never got a blessing. But you get the first 2 points correct, you move to point three, where the blessing starts coming, and this is what really God moved into. And for many years, I used to watch him being faithful, and I received magazines on him, read about his ministry. We saw the children's program he came out with. You can see that year after year, it was a hard work. And if you're ever in children's ministry, you realize that there's not much you can get directly from it. If you sow into that area, you probably reap from another area. Why? Because you collect offerings from children. They give, you know, they give what they have, which is in percentage quite a lot, but in numerical terms can be little because they don't have much. And so I always watch that ministry and say, "Lord, I wonder how he's surviving as far as finances are concerned." And I could understand him when later on he moved, and today he established a church at the same time as a children's ministry today. And I could understand that was in order to help in his financial arrangement. I know it was not easy, because if he was ministering like Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin, people were blessing. But if he ministered to real children, who's going to bless him? How is he going to get the money for the ministry? Many people don't think about that, but I do.
As I look at a man of God, I wonder how they're going to survive. Because he's called to children. Who's going to pay? Which church is going to pay him? Because he's independent and he was part of church. But yet God blessed him. God blessed him because he kept the first two priorities. And if you read some of the things God started showing him about the end times, I think he has one of the most beautiful revelations about Israel and Russia and Babylon, and he came up with that sometime in the early part of this year. And I saw it in his magazine. I said, this is wonderful. I've read many articles on end times, and he was one of those very good ones. And God started showing him some revelation and about the end times, and I thought that was beautiful. And he has a tape and all that he's sending out. But what God is showing him about something. Now, no man of God has all the revelation, but I am very pleased, and I was very pleased to see God blessing him in that area. So, under three blessings, A, God will give you revelation. God will impart revelation into your life. Under B, you notice in chapter 18, in verse 18, it says, Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. And B, your blessings will surely come. In other words, it's now beyond faith. When you're talking about faith, you're talking about area of exercising and believing God. And God is saying here that that Abraham shall surely. And very few times that God used the word surely. Surely means beyond doubt. Surely means that he has already determined and said it, and it is something that it cannot fail anymore. Do you know when you exercise faith, you still got the choice there. You still may fail, because if you give up halfway, the whole thing doesn't come true. But Abraham reached a stage where he believed God, he exercised faith, where even if he failed, it will still come. Because he has passed what I call the exponential curve. If you pass through that curve, there is no more return. Only the rest of the way can be blessing. And there's such a point where in faith you believe and you believe and you believe, and you reach a point where there's no more turning back. You're so locked into it. So that along the way, should you be affected and fall or meet God in a small way, it no more affects you. God covers you. You later read about how Abraham in chapter 20 missed God a little bit. He missed God a little bit. Some of his things will be taken in Genesis 20. And you wonder why God still bless him. Because God already said, I will surely bless him and make him a great nation. When God says surely, that means that he has reached level 2 of predestination. If you know what level 2 is. Level 1 is where your God's plan is below free choice. Level 2 is where level 1 is where free choice is above God's plan. Level 2 is where your free choice comes under God's plan. Alright, let me repeat that part. Level 1 of predestination is where you seek and choose and fall. Like the Israelites, they fail to go to the promised land. God planned for them, God predestined for them to enter the land of Canaan, but they didn't manage to go through. A second generation came in. So God has his plan, but the plan is yet under free choice. Free choice can affect it. But that's a stage of predestination that you reach because of your obedience in God. You pass the exponential curve, and the plans come above your choice. And there's a protection around you where it's impossible for you to pass a point to fall anymore. Now, it doesn't mean that you lost your free choice. It's just that the grace of God has gone so strong that you would not go beyond a certain point. In other words, God says, you have reached the point of surely. I will surely bless him. I will surely do those things for him. And so there's B, under 3B. 3C, in this third area of blessing, it says here, he shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. In other words, if you're faithful to little ones, and you're faithful to take care of ministry to the children, and you're faithful in... Now, that refers to parents too. Some of you may not be in the children's ministry, but you may neglect your children while you're pursuing your career, or pursuing your business things, or pursuing whatever, or your ministry, or whatever, and you neglect your family, you realize that you pay the price for it later on. But if you positively pursue your goals in God, your vision, without neglecting your little ones, your own little children, or perhaps children of people who come under your umbrella, or children ministry where you're heading and you're helping children's ministry, if you will feed my lambs, as Jesus said, your blessings will be international. Says, I will bless all nations. In other words, your blessings are going to come and affect the whole world. The extent of it is there. Look at it very carefully. Everyone who has neglected family somewhere along the line, their international impact is affected. Their outreach, their ability to have an impact even on society, on their own city, on their own country, is affected because their family is affected. And the opposite is true. Paul says that if anyone desires to be a bishop, anyone desires to be an elder or a deacon, he says he must rule his household well, for if he cannot rule his own home, how can he rule the church? And that tells him something, that Paul realized that unless a person has ruled their own home well, they cannot extend the boundaries of their ability to bring blessings. Serving the Lord is just bringing blessing to others, that's all. Serving the Lord is the ability that God gives you so that you become a blessing to more and more people. The circle in which you're able to bless. At first, if your walk with the Lord is only that much, the circle of blessing you have is only among a small group of people. But the more you walk with God, the more you're faithful, you become a greater blessing in a wider and wider circle. The influence of your life begins to bless many more lives. And all that starts because you're faithful to feeding His lambs. So let's remember these 3 points tonight as we are going to close and going to pray for the teachers to dedicate themselves so far to minister to children. These 3 points. That number one, the call to feed my lambs is to the highest authority. It is your responsibility, fathers, and not just the responsibility of mothers. So in a lot of families, the father just leaves the mother to do everything in disciplining the children. I think that's not right. The command is given to the head of the home. It's given to top authority, feed my lambs. And it's a task that is important to Jesus. Second is priority. The children are important to God, and ministry to them is a top priority as far as Jesus is concerned. The third area is, if you're faithful to the first two, the blessings start coming. And the blessings are in 3 areas. Revelation, God says that I won't hide this from Abraham. And number two, surety of the blessings and promises coming to pass. You reach a point, the second level of predestination. And 3C is the circle that you're able to bless others increases. Isn't it amazing how much the circle will bless others around you and expand? It's proportional to how much you expand on the inside of the family towards the little ones. Because your heart is built that way. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and thank you for your precious word. And we ask that God that you establish your grace and your work in each one of our hearts and lives. That we realize, Lord, the position and place that we have in reference to your family and the family of God in which we are a part. Little lambs, oh God, little children are important in your sight, and they have a high priority as far as you're concerned. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We call upon the Sunday school teachers here, and we'll pray with them for God's continued blessings on their lives. Praise God. Let's, could they all come forward? And we pray for them, for your sacrifices made. And help us too.
Yes.
For all the sacrifices you have made in giving time to help in the Sunday school. And I know there are a lot of things that are done that no reward on this natural world could have motivated and make you do those things. And yet there are spiritual rewards that sometimes multiply into natural rewards. If you want to pray for God's blessings on your life tonight for every sacrifice that you have made, so teach us and help us. And any others here who are joining the Sunday school department for the coming year, or you sense that, then you come right up and join this here too. We're going to pray with you too. That's right. Come right up if you are joining the Sunday school teaching department. So you come right up too. We know the sacrifice that's involved. We know how sometimes there's a lack of recognition in ministry to children. And it's times like this that we're going to recognize and honor you. And I want to praise God for each one of you. And we're going to pray for God's special rewards on your life. Praise God. Let's stretch our hands towards these who are here and pray for them. Ivrohasi vriandala bahasi vriandala bahasi kibriandala bahasi vriandala bahasi vriyata. Eliora asa asilianta le kriata masa. Nebrian dura mahakrianta la mahasivriatur mahapuriatin nikaliatu. Aliantu mahas mahatitia. Raalihantu raali ihan umasia. Rahasilian de la hasikiriatu la mas. Father God, we ask for your special grace and blessings upon each one of these, O God. We ask, O God, that even for every sacrifice they make, for all the dedication that they make to you, Lord, that you cause a special grace to come upon their lives. Father, we know, Lord, that you are reward in heaven. But we also ask for their life reward on this earth, so that they would be encouraged, O God, in what they sacrifice unto you. We ask for rewards in the spirit world and rewards down on this earth, Lord. And Father God, we pray for all kinds and all manner of rewards. We ask for financial blessings on their life, O God. We ask for spiritual blessings and revelation on their life, O God. And we ask, O God, for emotional blessings on their life, O God. We ask for every department in their lives to be blessed, Lord. We ask for blessings on the families that are represented here, Lord. If they have a family and they sacrifice, let their children be blessed, Lord. If they don't have a family and they are praying for life partner, bless them, Lord, with life partner. And we ask for every department in their life, O Lord. And we ask, O God, that you cause that every need of theirs will be met, Lord, because they give themselves unto you, O God. And we ask for those, O Lord, who desire children and new children. We pray, O God, that you cause your blessings upon them. We ask, O God, for physical health to be upon their lives, O Lord. We ask, O Lord, that this blessing will be sealed over their lives tonight. We ask, O Father God, that you set your special grace and wisdom over their lives, O Father God. And let those desires in your heart, let career promotions be upon them, Lord. Let them be promoted, O Lord, in the natural world. And if they come to your ministry, O Lord, place a special ministry grace on their lives, O God. We ask, O God, for this speciality, Lord, to come on their lives tonight. And you seal this upon their lives, Father God. We thank you, Father God. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.